Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. Biggest radio show in the country, all 50 states, rolling right along. And we hope you're having a good coming to the tail end of your week on this Thursday. Yesterday, in the third hour of the program, Buck Sexton and I had a conversation with Rand Paul that, frankly, is probably going to end up getting banned by Facebook. It's probably going to end up getting banned by big tech because it was too nuanced, it was too honest, and it didn't fit big tech and Democratic Party talking points. And I want to play a cut from that. Would you agree with that characterization, Buck, of that conversation that we had with Rand Paul yesterday in the third hour of the program?
It was an excellent chat because I think it allowed everyone to see the different levels of nuance that if you wanted to have a real conversation about what we should do and what the risks are in this country, that's what it would require. But instead, it's always take the shot, mask up, shut up, peasant, don't ask any questions. And people have, understandably, those who still believe in freedom and then the dignity that comes from being able to make your own decisions about your own life day to day, they're really tired of this stuff, especially from the Fauciite loons who have been wrong at so many points and so many times. But remember, the Democrat media never admits they were wrong about anything. How many times did they, not to divert, because I know we want to get to Rand Paul, how many times did you see anyone, Clay, who was involved in the Russia collusion sham, say, you know what? We really got that one wrong.
We blew it.
We blew it. We got that. No, in fact, I think the New York Times got a Pulitzer for their reporting on that. I mean, it's all about the agenda. And they're increasingly more honest about that because it's so obvious that they can't even get away with telling the same lies. But with COVID, it's the same thing. They pretend that they have this caricature of the right, this caricature of all conservatives that they just refuse. You know, we're all just sitting around, you know, drinking moonshine and playing banjos and refusing the shot. You know, this is
which is, by the way, to be fair, a lot of that's true where I live in Tennessee. We got Rand Paul, who is just up the road from me in Bowling Green, Kentucky, I believe. Great town, by the way, Bowling Green, Kentucky, where Western Kentucky University is. I believe that's where Rand Paul lives. He came on the show with us yesterday. And we got into several different details with him. I would encourage you to make sure that you go listen to the full conversation. But I just wanted to play this for you, this nuanced analysis from Rand Paul, who, by the way, is a doctor, as he discussed COVID. And I want you to listen to this answer from our interview yesterday as we were talking about the difference between natural immunity, a.k.a. if you've gotten the virus, like Buck, like I, and like Rand Paul all have, whether it makes sense to also get the vaccine and also herd immunity and advice based on age as it pertains to the vaccine. Listen to this, and then I want to play a Democratic stooge reaction to Rand Paul, but I just want you to listen to this clip from our interview yesterday.
The first thing is, in a free society, everybody makes up their own mind based on their doctor's advice and sometimes multiple doctors' advice, and there can be conflicts of opinion. I'll give you a general statement, but it could still be different based on your own medical history. In general, the vaccine is way safer than the disease if you're over 65. Without question, that's my advice. If you don't want to take it, that's your business, but that's just my advice if you want to take it. Over 65, I think the statistics are very good. If you're over 40 and overweight, I think you're at significant risk for this, too, and I would be below age 40, and when you get down into the 20s, I think that the standard has to be very, very high, almost to perfection for the vaccine because the disease is so extraordinarily non-lethal in the younger ages, particularly below age 25. Whether or not you take it or not, if it were my children and they were pushing me on it, I'd probably test them for antibodies first and see if they've had the disease. If my kids had the disease, there's no way I would give them the vaccine. For people my age, I'm 58 and I've had it. At this point, I don't think there's any evidence that there are large numbers of people who have had it, getting it, and going to the hospital and dying. If I see a study next week that says, you know, 5% of the people who had it a year ago are now in the hospital and dying, I'll change my mind and I'll go get vaccinated. But given the evidence now, and given that there are no studies showing large numbers of people in the hospital or dying that have previously had the disease, I've chosen not to get the vaccination. But, members of my family, I have advised to get it that are over 65, overweight. Two of my brothers and sisters are physicians. They chose to get it because they see patients with COVID. So I'm not against the vaccine, but I am for freedom and letting each individual make their own decision.
There's nothing unreasonable, nothing outrageous. In fact, it's eminently, it's clearly a nuanced and in-depth view of it. But you don't always get that sense when you listen to people in the media, Clay. There are some people who want to make it seem like Rand Paul is telling everybody, oh, don't worry about COVID, just rub some dirt on it.
And this is where I think the fundamental dishonesty of many people in our media need to be called out. And you just heard that Rand Paul answer. Imagine if he had been at a town hall addressing America about COVID, how much better would you feel than you felt hearing Joe Biden address the media and the public yesterday on CNN in his town hall, okay? So Joy Behar, you just heard Rand Paul. He was on the show yesterday. You guys heard him talk directly to you. I want you to listen to what Joy Behar said about Rand Paul on The View. Listen to this clip and tell me whether this is in any way fair at all of a take.
Okay, Rand Paul is a third-rate party hack who, by the way, got COVID, is lucky to be alive, and then refused to take the vaccine afterwards. If anyone is responsible for all the deaths that have occurred since COVID began, it is more of these lying party hacks like Rand Paul who have demonized masks and then demonized vaccines, and they know who they are. He should be thanking Fauci instead of accusing him of murder. My God.
Behar's actually impressive, Clay. She may very well be the dumbest person on television speaking about current events. Number one, which is a crowded field. When you add in people, there's a lot of names we could throw in there. She may be the dumbest person on television who discusses news, at least. I mean, I wouldn't buy like a salad chopper from her. But in news, she's clearly in a league of her own. But she's actually doing her job, her role on that show, and the role, I would argue, of CNN anchors and people who work at the New York Times, is to push a narrative about this stuff so that there is political momentum and political use for those who are lockdowners, Fauciites, and that they can transfer that into midterm victories, more rules, more regulations. There's this whole change, this shift in control that we've accepted as a society, unfortunately, over the last 18 months. And they want to perpetuate that. And they've already started to try to talk about how we can move to the next level. We'll get on to climate change. We'll get on to gun violence. We'll get on to racial inequity, whatever it is. But like the equivalent of mobilizing for war, like we did for COVID, is what they want to do for everything else on the leftist Marxist wish list. That's the plan.
It is so to me. You heard Rand Paul and then you heard Joy Behar. How transparently dishonest is her take on what Rand Paul is saying? You heard him talk to you, all of you out there listening yesterday, and you just heard that clip. And if you didn't hear Rand Paul talk himself, and you just heard Joy Behar, as Buck, millions of people do, you might trust her. You might believe her. And this is, we talk, for those of you out there who have the red pill moment in, the Matrix reference. Great movie, by the way, that I'm watching with my kids all over again.
Top 10 action all time. Oh, I might so even good. Put it top 5 all time.
So good, Buck. But if you don't actually seek out evidence yourself, you don't realize how often you're being lied to. And this is what I would say about Buck for you and I and everybody out there. There's a difference between disagreeing with an opinion, right? You can disagree with opinions and you can do it honestly and transparently. And that's one of the great things about the First Amendment and about our country in general. But a direct lie, like what Joy Behar said to her audience about Rand Paul, that's the next level of dishonesty that is happening on a daily basis everywhere.
But if the media is so full of lies as they currently are about the conservative view of vaccines, about the way that the GOP has approached this, I mean, Donald Trump was always touting Operation Warp Speed, which was a program to create a vaccine, right? The difference has come now with, should it be mandatory? Should there be requirements? That's where the fight is. That there isn't some large constituency on the right in mainstream conservative politics right now that just says vaccines are always bad. This vaccine is always bad. All vaccines are bad. I know there are some people who take that view, but it's a that's a very small group in America in general. By the way, it's on the left and the right of American politics. There are groups like that. In general, what you have are people who are saying what Rand Paul said, which is that this is a risk analysis situation
based on your personal health conditions.
And there is a balancing act here that must be done by American society. And we forgot that at the very beginning. And that's one of the great pitfalls, really, honestly, one of the big disappointments for me of what we've seen, which was that in the very beginning, in the first 6 months in particular, but now stretching for a year and a half, it was not individual liberty, constitutional protection. Oh, no, we're really scared. There's a virus. None of that counts.
You're going to kill somebody's grandma. And nothing else matters.
We either have rights and have freedom that the government cannot infringe on, or we just live at the government's leave and do what it says when it says. And that's not what we're supposed to be in this country. And unless we fight back, that they want to take us back to that place. We will get more into this. And also, Clay, I've got updates on the January 6th commission for everybody and where that's all headed, because, wow. And I know you've got a special guest in the third hour from the sports world.
First sports-related guest. They reached out. The Big Ten Conference did. Their commissioner, Kevin Warren, is going to come on with us. Should be interesting, because if you're a sports fan at all, there's talk that Texas and Oklahoma may be joining the Southeastern Conference, maybe Notre Dame might be in play for the Big Ten. We'll talk about all that in the third hour. But in the meantime, Buck, if you choose to believe Google, all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on the incognito mode on in your browser. We're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to online privacy. Get out of here. Of course we're not going to. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browsing history. Your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. That's why you and I both, Buck, use ExpressVPN to keep our online data secure and private.
ExpressVPN, make sure your ISP and third-party trackers can't see your activity and location when you're online. It does that by rerouting your connection through a secure encrypted server. And ExpressVPN protects all of your data, regardless of whether you use incognito mode. It's so easy, too, to set this up. It's just an app you download for your computer or your mobile device, so you can use the internet in confidence, knowing you're not constantly being tracked, data mined, and spied on. Protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to keep things private. Visit expressvpn.com/clayandbuck. You get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/clayandbuck to learn more. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and I've got a piece up at bucksexton.com. If you think the January 6th riot was an insurrection, you're an idiot. So that one's still making the rounds, still going. I think it's an important case to make. So I've got that up at bucksexton.com. Go check that out when you get a chance. I also wanted to point out that, Clay, you know, they're trying to tell us, meaning the left, the Democrats, however you want to refer to it, they're trying to tell us that our side is always opposed to all vaccine hesitancy is our fault. Remember, Kamala and Joe were saying you couldn't trust the Trump FDA. They said it very clearly, very explicitly. I don't know about that Trump Food and Drug Administration. I don't think you could trust them with a vaccine, when they were running against Trump, of course. And now everything is our fault. Meanwhile, who is the biggest Republican hero in government of the pandemic?
Ron DeSantis.
Exactly.
Yes.
And what does Ron DeSantis say about vaccines?
So here's, I think, the most important thing with the data. If you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, the chance of you getting seriously ill or dying from COVID is effectively zero. If you look at the people that are being admitted to hospitals, over 95% of them are either not fully vaccinated or not vaccinated at all. And so these vaccines are saving lives. They are reducing mortality.
I mean,
I wish he were answering questions instead of Biden, right, Buck? I mean, that's a nuanced, smart analysis. And what I love about DeSantis, and this ties in with what you and I tried to do, Buck, look at the data and let it guide you in the arguments that you make, as opposed to responding emotionally or unintelligently and insisting on everything being black or white, the greatest thing or the worst thing that's ever existed.
Yeah, this has been pretty straightforward because the data has been clear on this from the early months, really the first, I'd say, 60 to 90 days of the pandemic even. You know, if you're over 65 and have a comorbidity, hypertension, weight issue, even if, let's assume that the worst stuff that's out there about the vaccines from reputable sources, from people that are serious, even if there are some challenges that come with it for people, it's still a better option to take that risk. And this is what DeSantis is saying. It's what Senator Paul said to us. Better to take that and accept the risk of the vaccine for that, whatever those risks may be, than to be a person with comorbidities over 65 who gets COVID, which, by the way, as you and I know, two people got COVID. It's everywhere and it's really easy to get. And it's still bouncing all over the country. The reason you don't have a whole lot more cases right now is because there's so much immunity within the population. It's not because this stuff isn't still really easy to get.
There's no doubt. And you and I have been consistent. We told your parents are over 65.
Both my vaccinated. Parents are over 65. I said get it as soon as you can.
Same thing I told my family. Just look at the data and make that choice. Now, that's a different choice than I'm making for my 13-year-old, right? And I think that's part of being a parent is looking at all that data and making a rational decision going forward.
I think that what we're going to see is the numbers are going to dramatically, even with the Delta variant, you're going to see it start to go down because there's not that many hosts who don't have some level of immunity for the virus to go
right.
to. And the big question that remains is cases, hospitalizations, deaths, the connection between those things. If we're really just seeing cases and hospitalizations and deaths, yes, there's been something of an uptick for a week or two here, but if it doesn't really jump up and it's mostly just a case-demic instead of a pandemic that we're facing over the next, let's say, 60 days, people are going to calm down. But even if they calm down, it doesn't mean you might not be wearing masks in LA, Clay, because a lot of people, I've said this from the beginning, view this as a lifestyle choice now.
Not only that, we've talked about every virus rises in the fall and the winter. So even if you're right and we start to cycle down, we still have to worry about that going forward. In the meantime, the best thing you can do as we come up for the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 is never forget those who lost their lives and do good and take action now. You can donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org, to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which is building forward a legacy of courage and heroism. 20 years now, Tunnel to Towers is gifting America's heroes and their families with 200 mortgage-free homes. And to honor the fallen, Chairman and CEO Frank Siller walks more than 500 miles through six states in 42 days from the Pentagon to Shanksville, PA, culminating at Ground Zero on 9/11, Towers of Light at the Pentagon in Shanksville in remembrance as well, and those lost to 9/11 illnesses and the Veterans Day, another first, soldiers we lost in the war and terror, having their names read aloud. Support them now.
This is James Golden, host of the podcast series, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone. The next episode in our series is out. Make sure to listen wherever you get your podcast. We're sharing so many behind-the-scenes stories, remembering the man we love. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors. Tunnel to Towers Foundation and MyPillow are both sponsors.
Welcome back to the Clay, Travis, and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. He's Clay. We have some additional things to bring to your attention today from that speech last night. I mean, it wasn't a speech, town hall, same idea. Town hall on CNN, which was a lot of stuff that we should get through together. Crime, immigration, the border, major topics that the Democrats don't have good answers for, and certainly Joe Biden doesn't either. But there are some of these things, Clay, out there that you keep hearing from Democrats. They're like zombie talking points. You can never make the talking point die. It will never stop, right? People will talk about for the pay gap. They'll say, you know, men and women, it's the exact same work, the same person, and you have whatever it is, 73 cents on the dollar, I think is the statistic, or it's some not. And then when they actually look at it and they break it down, it's not true. And if it yes. were true, companies with thousands and thousands of employees
only would hire women.
You save over 25% yes. on your labor costs. Guess what? Everyone's going to do that. So it's, but they'll just keep saying it. They'll keep saying it. They'll keep saying, there's no such thing as voter fraud until someone says that's weird because people go to prison for it every year. There are phrases that they will use. There are statements they will make that no matter how many times we debunk it, we disabuse them of this notion, we point out the lie, they want to keep saying it. Don Lemon, the filibuster is bad now. What's remarkable, Clay, is that the filibuster wasn't bad somehow when Democrats were in the minority for the first 2 years of the Trump presidency.
Even worse than that, Buck, it was the saving grace of our democracy. If you listen to Democrats, when Trump won, they used the filibuster aggressively. Kristen Sinema pointed out in her Washington Post editorial explaining why she wouldn't reject this the filibuster that 41, I believe it was, of her Democratic colleagues had signed a letter talking about how important the filibuster was when Donald Trump got elected president. And suddenly, you have the power, and it's not racist at all. It's super racist. Sorry, it's gone from not being racist at all, and you have to use it, to being super racist.
The situational ethics that Democrats engage in on a regular basis, especially when talking about our sacred democracy and the processes of our government, the situational ethics, they could get 9.9 if they were doing like the pommel horse, or I mean the acrobatics that are yes. involved. I got the Olympics on my mind. It's crazy. They're just spinning all over the place and they do not stick the landing. They look foolish when it all is said and done. Don Lemon pressed Joe Biden last night on the filibuster. Here is what he said.
It is. If it's a relic of Jim Crow, it's been used to fight against civil rights legislation historically. Why protect it?
There's no reason to protect it other than you're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
Right.
Nothing at all will get done. Mm. And there's a lot at stake. The most important one is the right to vote. That's the single most important one. And your vote counts it, and count it by someone who honestly counts it.
It is not a relic of Jim Crow. How many times?
It's a lot.
Do we have to just go over this? The tactic of delaying in the Senate so that legislation could not go through goes all the way back to 1789 when Senator William McClay wrote in his diary, the design of the Virginians was to talk away the time so we could not get the bill passed. There were uses of the filibusters in the 1830s. There were uses of the filibuster before anybody had even heard of Jim Crow or Jim Crow laws. It comes from, fun fact, the Dutch for freebooter or the Spanish filibustero, and it is essentially a pirate. So to be a filibuster is to be a pirate who takes command of the Senate, which makes it sound a whole lot cooler than it actually is. But it is not Jim Crow relic. It is not racism. This is total malarkey.
What is designed here is for the Senate, because you have 6-year terms, to not swing outrageously every single time that we have a new presidential election. And so the idea, for anybody who has studied history, is that the Senate will slow things down to make sure that we are not behaving in a haphazard fashion. The House is obviously a much more reactionary body, as it is only made up of people who are elected, 435 of them, every 2 years. The Senate, the 6-year term, is supposed to protect you from the passions of the moment so that you can make a reasonable decision for the betterment of the country. The fact that we have allowed It's a good question, Buck. You talked about how dumb Joy Behar is. Do you think that Don Lemon is able to understand that, or is he just going to spout whatever Jeff Zucker sound bites are popular on CNN any given day? Do you think he's cognizant of the fact that he's spreading disinformation while claiming to care that about information in a big way?
I think he doesn't care, and I believe that for Democrat anchors who pretend to be journalists, which I don't know. I mean, no intelligent person would ever say Don Lemon is unbiased or Chris Cuomo or any of these people, you know, say, fake Tapper, any of them. No one actually thinks that they're not Democrats doing the bidding of the Democrat Party. Who pays attention and who's honest? I mean, there might be delusional, very bored people in airports. Although I think are they in airports anymore? They lost some of that airport coverage.
They're not on as much. Yeah. There's more sports on in airports now, it seems to me.
Woke NBA or CNN in the airport, I want to watch some three-pointers get drained. I got to tell you, I will make that concession. But no, I think that for people who are now, and I've even had friends bring this up to me recently, they say it kind of feels like all media has just turned into clashing narratives and activism. And they say, how do you feel about that? I say, well, what I do, what you do, Clay, we tell people this is what we think, this is what we want, and who we are. The old media of this is just the truth, there is no other truth, and we bring no perspective to this. Journalism is a lie. It's been a lie for a very long time. But to specifically answer your question about Don Lemon, no, because the point of that town hall was not to give people, first of all, it was clearly not to challenge in any way the president of the United States or make him answer tough questions. The point of that town hall was to give a platform with a facade of some neutrality or some some unbiased nature so that Joe Biden could look good and say things to his constituents. And so Don Lemon succeeded in that regard. So it's a success, even if he says something dumb, because the dumb thing he says helps Biden. It doesn't matter that it's wrong, and his audience doesn't care. Just one more thing. You can tell this gets me fired up, Clay. The journalists, when it comes to guns, and I've said this for a long time, people say, no. They're so disdainful of not only guns, but gun owners. Your standard DC or NYC journalist hates gun owners so much. And that's actually why it's become such a cultural issue, because it's such a signifier of your politics. It's not even just about the gun violence, that by parading their ignorance, by literally going on TV and talking about machine guns with bayonet attachments and all these things, they're saying, oh, well, it's all so stupid and whatever. Who cares? As long as I'm showing you how much I hate it, that's what matters.
Well, and
it's not
also
worth learning about. Sorry, go ahead.
That's why the Democratic Party has such a big cultural issue in many parts of the country, even for people that might respond favorably to some of the things that they argue for. As a kid who grew up in Tennessee, we're around guns at a young age. And that doesn't happen for many of these left-wing New York and California liberals. They just aren't, right? They aren't ever in a backyard with a gun firing at a target, right? They don't have BB guns growing up. And so a lot of that discomfort is just nervousness because they haven't ever experienced a gun in a non-life-threatening fashion, right? They're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get shot or whatever. Comfort level with a weapon at a young age, I think many people, and certainly a large percentage of our listeners, have had that experience, and so you aren't as terrified of guns. There's a genuine fear factor. Really, everything is racist and everything is going to kill you is basically the Democratic Party's brand right now. Right? I mean, that's their brand. Everything is racist. Everything is going to kill you. It's a fear-based party, which is unfortunately getting trumpeted across the entire nation.
You get to feel virtuous while handing over control of your life to people that you think are even more virtuous if you're a lib, if you're a leftist. That sounds so appealing to them. It sounds like a nightmare to me, but the border is a nightmare right now with the lack of security and the openness of it. We want to come back into that, and then Clay has the commissioner of the Big Ten coming up at.
You're so pumped about the commissioner of the Big Ten coming on.
I'm sorry.
Your brothers are going to be pumped that you talk to the commissioner of the Big Ten.
Oh no, they love watching the sports.
Yes.
So they're excited. We're doing it for sure. But, you know, Clay, this is really straightforward. The numbers these days just show you that there are great mortgage rates out there, and over the life of your loan, when you got a mortgage on your home, we're talking about big savings, and it could hit right away, up to hundreds of dollars in savings a month by simply refinancing your current mortgage to a lower rate. So you want someone who knows exactly how to get you that best possible rate, lock it in, save you all of that money. And that's our friends at American Financing. I know these people. They're the best in the business. American Financing, Clay, will help people get lower rates than they've experienced or seen before, which could save them hundreds, perhaps even up to $1,000 a month.
Think about that for a minute. How much difference could $12,000 make in your family's life? You could be saving up to $1,000 a month based on how low the rates are right now, the lowest of our lifetime. If you have not called and tried to find out how much money you can save, you are costing your family and yourself money. So trust me, don't put off a refi any longer. Pick up your phone right now while you're listening to me. Call American Financing, 800-777-8109. Let me repeat that number one more time for you. 800-777-8109. 8109. You can also visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing. Save hundreds or thousands of dollars right now. NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here, and we had some interesting moments in this last night, Joe Biden town hall. And I am a fan of the site, the site, the Babylon Bee.
They're fantastic.
And they just put out CNN airs hours long PSA on warning signs of dementia. Ouch.
Yes.
Ouch. That is they are not holding back there at all. Well, one area where Biden had no good answer, and I think, to be fair, and I do aspire to be fair, at least within the context of what my beliefs are on this show, I don't think Biden can give a good answer on what Kamala said about the border or what's happening at the U.S.-Mexico border. You have unprecedented numbers, truly by the numbers, with the data in front of us right now, unprecedented numbers of apprehensions of illegal crossing. We have the closest thing that we have had to an open border, really, ever, at least in the modern era of this country. And Biden was asked about Kamala saying, do not come. And here's what he said.
Vice President Harris said to Guatemalans, don't come. Recently, you have indicated you are in favor of refugees coming to this country. Could you please explain your administration's basic stance on immigration?
Yes, they should not come. What we're trying to set up is in the countries like in particular Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, etc. We are setting up in those countries, if you seek asylum in the United States, you can seek it from the country.
That's called being a refugee. There's actually a difference here, which I would hope the president of the United States would know. You show up and say, I need to stay here. That's asylum. You apply in another country and say, I need to get out of this place because there's a war or a famine. That's a refugee under U.S. law. I don't think Biden knows or cares about the difference particularly, but Clay, more to the point. Oh, they don't have any problem with the people who are gaming the system. They just want to help them game the immigration system differently.
Well, and that's also the place, if you were a true journalist, to follow up and say, what about Cuba? Right? I mean, if you are truly a journalist, which is what CNN claims that they are, a journalistic organization, you should speak truth to power. And so if that is the policy that is in place for what Joe Biden believes should exist at our southern border, why in the throes of repression, as the Cuban people have tried to speak out in favor of democracy and freedom, would the United States say, you aren't going to be able to come here, don't flee, we don't want you? I mean, it is to me such an inherent hypocrisy. And Buck, to your point, the idea is, oh, those might be Republican voters, but take away the politics and just go straight to the policy itself. Try to explain why that difference is occurring. And I don't think Joe Biden could do it because it's nonsensical, but that's what a real journalist should do. That's what someone who is trying to get to truths and hold leaders accountable, that would be the immediate follow-up, right?
Yeah, but they're not journalists, as we know.
Of course not.
We just keep saying, I mean, it's almost at a point now, we have to keep saying it until they finally admit it, right? I know that for everyone who's with us now, you all know that CNN is fake news, and that's why it stings so much. That's why they get so upset about it, right?
Yes.
You know, when people say things that aren't true about you, that hurts a lot less when it's negative than when it is true. But, you know, journalism in this country is something that has, I think people realize it no longer really exists. And CNN last night was a perfect example of that. But could you just imagine what it would be like if people really did ask Joe Biden questions like, hey, crime, the border, the economy, foreign policy, what is the win that you can point to for this administration at this point? Not hitting the numbers that you said you would on COVID, now saying we may have to go back into mask mandates. I think they'd have not a lot, Clay.
No, there's no doubt they would have not a lot indeed. We are going to talk to the commissioner of the Big Ten coming up next, Buck Sexton. And there's some interesting breaking news out of the NFL. The NFL is saying if players test positive for COVID, they're going to have to forfeit games this coming year. Why are they still testing? Does this make any sense at all? Sports, an important window into our world right now. Buck, I know you're thrilled.
Oh, man, he better be ready to be on the hot seat. The Buckster has some sports questions, like why did people get so upset about having to wear the short shorts in the volleyball thing with Norway or whatever it was? I got sports questions. You know what I'm talking about. That's coming up here in a few minutes on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Stay with us. We're going to have a lot of fun.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.